This program is provided by lawyer Kyungjin Kim.
So imagine you are standing at a busy registration desk, or, well, maybe you're looking over the shoulder of a doctor in a really bustling Chinese hospital.
Right, surrounded by all that chaos.
Exactly. And on the screen right in front of you, a patient's discharge summary is just typing itself out at lightning speed. It looks completely professional.
I mean, the phrasing is incredibly smooth.
Yeah. The complex medical jargon is perfectly placed. The formatting is flawless. But there is this hidden landmine buried deep in that text, a completely fabricated lab test value seamlessly woven right into the document.
And that is the real danger. It's not just that the machine made a mistake.
Yeah.
It's that the mistake looks, you know, entirely plausible to the human eye.
Right.
If a doctor is just glancing over that summary at the end of a 14-hour shift, they might not catch it at all.
And that invisible landmine is exactly what we are exploring today. We are taking a deep dive into the silent battle happening inside hospitals all over the world right now.
Yeah, it's a massive shift.
It really is. It's a very real current struggle for trust and transparency and patient safety as artificial intelligence is thrust into these life and death clinical environments.
Because, I mean, AI is already inside these hospitals, right? It's drafting patient notices. It's trying to diagnose illnesses.
Right. But the ultimate test for AI adoption isn't just how fast it can write. It's whether it can actually be trusted not to lie to us.
Exactly. We are seeing this incredible anxiety grip medical professionals globally. And to understand why doctors are, frankly, losing sleep over this, we have to look at the massive gap between what AI developers promise and how these systems actually behave on a hospital floor.
So what exactly are we up against here?
Well, we are dealing with three major hurdles today. The phenomenon of AI hallucinations, the completely opaque black box of how the AI makes its decisions, and the intense burnout these systems are causing for the human staff who are forced to use them.
Okay, let's start with that fake lab value from the intro. In the tech world, they call it a hallucination. But I just don't understand how a billion-dollar supercomputer, one that's trained on virtually every medical textbook in existence, can just invent a fake blood test out of thin air.
It's crazy, right? But
yeah.
It basically comes down to a fundamental mismatch between the laboratory and the real world. There's this recent massive review in PLOS Digital Health. It looked at 81 different English language studies from 2018 to 2025.
Oh, wow. So really comprehensive.
Very. And they mapped out this exact problem. They found that these hallucinations essentially stem from two distinct phases, which are flawed inputs and flawed outputs.
Okay, well, let's look at the inputs first. If the AI is fed bad information, I totally get why it would spit out a bad answer. But aren't these systems reading highly technical medical data?
That's actually the core of the problem. I mean, the AI models are trained on highly structured, polished medical literature, but real-world hospitals are messy.
Messy how?
Well, there is a massive lack of high-quality conversational medical data. So when a patient walks into a clinic in a rural province, they don't describe their symptoms using textbook Latin terms.
Right. They use everyday language.
Exactly. They use colloquialisms, regional dialects, or vague phrases like, you know, my chest feels like a washing machine.
Mm.
The AI just does not have the training to digest that kind of lay terminology.
So the AI gets confused by normal human conversation. But, I mean, even if it misunderstands my local dialect, why does it respond by inventing a fake scientific paper to back up its confusion?
That brings us to the output problem. These models are inherently designed to be helpful and confident no matter what.
So they basically can't say, I don't know.
Right. When confronted with a complex clinical puzzle they don't fully grasp, they often generate these superficial answers that totally lack medical depth. And worse, they output these answers at a reading level that is just far too high for ordinary patients to understand.
Just to sound smart.
Exactly. And to maintain that authoritative tone, the system will frequently fabricate citations. It'll point to medical journals or studies that literally have never existed.
That is wild. But wait, hospital isn't just text documents. What happens when a doctor uploads an X-ray or an MRI scan into one of these systems? Can't the AI just look at the picture?
You're talking about multimodal AI, so systems trying to process images and text simultaneously.
Yeah, exactly.
The reality is that multimodal technology in medicine is still lagging heavily behind text-only models. Most of the safety countermeasures developers have built to stop text hallucinations just completely fail when you introduce a radiology scan.
So it just breaks the safety nets.
Yeah. And on top of that, there are hard physical computing constraints. For instance, testing on recent high-end models like ChatGPT 4.0 revealed strict usage caps.
Like what kind of caps?
Well, sometimes limiting users to just 40 questions every 3 hours, and even capping the output to about 650 words.
40 questions. I mean, if you are a pharmacist doing a telepharmacy shift or a doctor running an emergency room, you would hit that limit before your morning coffee break.
Easily.
And if the system resets because you hit a cap, it loses all the context of the patient you were just treating. You know, the way this AI behaves. It really reminds me of an overconfident middle school student.
Oh, where? I'm curious, Amy.
Well, think about a middle schooler who absolutely refused to read the assigned book, but they still have to turn in a term paper.
No, I see where you're going with this.
Yeah. So they write a beautifully formatted, grammatically perfect, completely fabricated essay just to sound smart. They don't actually know the themes of the book, but they are terrified of looking like they don't know the answer. They just want the teacher's approval.
That is a brilliant way to conceptualize it. The AI doesn't, you know it's lying in any human sense. It is just a statistical engine predicting the next most likely word in a very confident tone.
Right.
In a classroom, that gets you a failing grade.
Yeah.
But in a hospital, a confident lie can be fatal.
Yeah, absolutely. So if AI is confidently lying, like our middle schooler, we obviously have a massive problem. But how do hospital administrators even begin to measure the scale of these lies? Do they just run the AI through standard tech industry tests?
They tried that, and it failed miserably. General purpose AI benchmarks, like Truthful QA, which is standard in the tech industry, they treat hallucinations like a simple binary pop quiz.
Like true or false.
Exactly. True or false. Did the AI state a fact or did it deviate? But clinical hallucinations are vastly more complex than general trivia.
So what do they do instead?
Well, researchers have actually had to design entirely new specialized rulers to measure this. There was a fascinating paper at the AAA conference detailing one of these called the Medical Hallucination Benchmark, or MHB.
Okay, so how does this MHB grade the AI differently than a standard true or false test?
It takes a microscopic layered approach. Instead of just looking at the final answer, the MHB categorizes the specific flavor of the hallucination.
Your flavor.
Yeah, like it tracks whether the AI is inventing non-existent drug interactions. Or it checks if the AI is taking real, accurate lab values from the patient's chart, but then linking them to an entirely unrelated disease.
Oh.
It even tracks if the AI subtly shifts its underlying logical premises right in the middle of a diagnostic reasoning path.
Wait, why is it so important to track a subtle shift in logic? A mistake is just a mistake, isn't it?
Because clinical reasoning is a multi-step journey. It's not a one-shot answer. Imagine the AI is summarizing a patient's history, and it makes a tiny distortion early on, so it misreads a history of mild seasonal allergies as chronic severe asthma.
Okay, I'm following.
In the very next step of its processing, it treats that fake asthma as a hardened fact. It then uses that fake fact to recommend a heavy, dangerous steroid treatment.
Yay.
It's a cascading error. A tiny lie early on snowballs into a massive, life-threatening diagnostic failure later.
Okay, so the specialized benchmark is basically grading the AI's math work step by step instead of just checking the final answer at the bottom of the page.
That's a great way to put it.
But I have to push back here a little. I mean, building a better ruler just tells us how deep the puddle is, right? It doesn't actually fix the leaky pipe.
You have hit on the exact frustration that is currently paralyzing hospital IT departments. We are getting incredibly good at measuring the exact shape and size of these medical hallucinations. But the methods to actually stop them remain completely elusive.
Wow.
And it gets even more complicated. Because let's say we magically fixed the leaky pipe. Even if the AI got the diagnosis perfectly right every single time, doctors still wouldn't use it.
Wait, really? Why not? If the computer is giving you the correct life-saving answer, why wouldn't a doctor want that?
Because of the black box problem. Deep learning models ingest mountains of data, and they can output outstanding diagnostic predictions. But their internal calculations, the actual pathways they take to reach that conclusion, are completely opaque.
So they can't see the work.
Exactly. And in critical environments like an intensive care unit, this opacity fuels massive skepticism.
Yeah, that makes total sense. An ICU doctor relies on intuitive pattern recognition built over decades of saving lives. They aren't going to blindly inject a patient with a high-risk medication just because a black box on a desk beeped and said, do this.
Yeah.
They need to know the why.
Right. Without the why, there is absolutely no trust. And this has led to a whole new subfield called explainable artificial intelligence, or XAI. A recent paper in Frontiers in Public Health dug into this for ICUs. Researchers are basically trying to force these black boxes to show their work.
How do you even do that?
Well, one popular technique they use is called SHAP, which is actually derived from game theory.
Game theory? Like figuring out how players cooperate or compete? How does that help a doctor in an ICU?
Well, think of it like assigning credit to individual players on a basketball team after a big win. You want to know exactly how much each player contributed to the final score.
Right.
Researchers do this with medical AI. Let's say the AI looks at an image of a bacterial colony and predicts a 79% probability that it is E. coli. SAP calculates the exact contribution of each visual feature in that image.
So it breaks down the visual.
Exactly. It generates a readout showing that, for example, the specific size of the colony pushed the AI's confidence up by plus 0.37, while the irregular border shape actually subtracted 0.38 from its confidence.
Okay, I like that. It's breaking down the final score into measurable chunks. Are there other ways to force the AI to explain itself?
Yeah, another major technique is called LIME. Instead of assigning game theory points, LIME tries to build a transparent glass box around the opaque black box.
A glass box? How does that work?
It takes the original medical image and subtly tweaks it over and over again. It changes the colors, alters the sizes, smooths out the borders, creating thousands of synthetic, slightly altered samples.
Oh, I see.
Then it watches how the AI's diagnosis changes with each tiny tweak, trying to map out a linear approximation of exactly what the AI is prioritizing.
So it's like asking a food critic to reverse engineer a secret restaurant recipe. You don't have the recipe, so you just keep feeding them slightly different versions of the dish. Okay, this version has less salt. Did that change the flavor profile? What if we add a dash of pepper?
That is a perfect analogy for how LIME maps out the model's behavior.
But wait a minute. If we are just tweaking recipes and assigning estimated points, the AI isn't actually showing us its true underlying math. These tools are just making highly educated guesses about what the AI might be thinking.
Yep. You've spotted the massive, inherent limitation of explainable AI. These techniques are strictly post hoc. They are approximations applied after the decision has already been made.
So it's still guessing.
Exactly. They do not directly expose the AI's actual internal computational pathways. If you group the data slightly differently, the explanation will fluctuate. It doesn't eliminate the black box. It just paints a slightly clearer picture on the outside of it.
That sounds absolutely terrifying from a legal and regulatory standpoint. If doctors can't fully peek inside the black box and our best tools are just approximations, how on earth do government agencies approve these things for human hospitals?
It is an unprecedented regulatory nightmare. Lawyer and former lawmaker Kyung Jin Kim actually broke this down in a fascinating analysis published in NPJ Digital Medicine. He explained that historically, agencies like the U.S. Food and Drug Administration regulated software using a very simple framework called Software as a Medical Device, or SAMD.
Okay, so how did that old framework work?
The core premise was stability. A specific fixed input produces a specific fixed output.
Like a heart rate monitor, it measures a pulse, it displays a number, it does the exact same thing every single time.
Exactly. But the new wave of clinical AI completely shatters that framework. Kim points out that we are now dealing with UNDCS, which stands for Unbounded Non-Deterministic Clinical Software. These are agentic AI systems.
Agentic AI, meaning the software acts like an independent agent with a mind of its own.
Exactly that. Unlike a calculator, agentic AI makes autonomous decisions through multiple steps and can navigate entirely different paths depending on the context. Crucially, it can change its own decision pathways on the fly, long after it's been installed in the hospital.
Give me a real-world scenario of what that actually looks like. How does software just change its mind on the hospital floor?
Okay, let's say a hospital installs an agentic AI to monitor patients for sepsis, which is a deadly blood infection. The FDA approved the software based on a specific, standard decision tree it used during testing.
Right.
But a month later, the AI is monitoring a real patient and notices their blood pressure is dropping in a highly unusual pattern. On the fly, the AI decides the standard decision tree won't work.
Wait, it just abandons the approved process?
Yes. It autonomously rewrites its own diagnostic pathway, bypassing the standard workflow to prioritize a totally different set of organ function tests that regulators have never even seen before.
Oh my God, if the AI goes totally off script, taking an unapproved path, and the patient is harmed by a hallucination, who gets sued? Is it the doctor who trusted it? The hospital that bought it? The coder who originally built it?
That liability black hole is keeping hospital executives awake at night. Kim's analysis highlights the core dilemma. How does the FDA use good machine learning practice to approve software that fundamentally alters its own logic from Tuesday to Wednesday?
I mean, they can't.
Right. Initial performance verification means absolutely nothing if the software evolves. This forces the hospitals themselves to take on the massive burden of continuous daily revalidation of the AI's logic.
So the hospital isn't just buying a tool, they're adopting a never-ending auditing job. It's no wonder the rollout of these systems is causing so much friction. Which brings us to the actual humans on the ground. With all these regulatory hurdles and black box mysteries, how are everyday physicians reacting?
We have some incredibly revealing data on this. The China Hospital Association recently published a column analyzing a 2026 American Medical Association survey. They were looking for structural trends, and the statistics paint a wild picture.
What did they find?
According to the data, 81% of U.S. physicians are already using AI in their clinical work. That number doubled in just 3 years. Furthermore, 67% of them are using it on a daily basis.
Wait, so despite the hallucinations and the black boxes, doctors are using it constantly?
They are, but it comes with a massive paradox. In that exact same survey, 81% of those physicians expressed deep frustration with their own hospital's official methods for adopting AI.
Why are they frustrated if they're already using it every day?
Because official hospital IT procurement is agonizingly slow. Administrators are terrified of the liability we just talked about, so they freeze up. In response, frustrated, overworked doctors are resorting to shadow IT.
Shadow IT, what does that mean?
They are pulling out their personal credit cards and using private Gmail accounts to sneak over 100 different types of unapproved commercial AI tools directly into the clinics.
You cannot be serious. Doctors are copy-pasting sensitive patient symptoms into unapproved web browsers using personal Gmail accounts.
Yes.
The data security risks there are astronomical. What about patient privacy laws like in UI?
It is a colossal privacy and security risk.
Yeah.
But it highlights the desperation of the workforce. Interestingly, though, the doctors draw a very clear boundary in how they use these rogue tools.
Oh, where's the boundary?
The survey shows that 65% of physicians primarily want the AI to automate their grueling paperwork and draft discharge summaries. But when it comes to core clinical decisions, like asking the AI to definitively diagnose a disease or prescribe a treatment, less than 10% actually trust it.
So they are effectively saying, please write my endless documentation so I can go home to my family, but do not tell me how to treat this patient.
Pretty much.
I know this survey focused on American doctors, but does this same rogue behavior happen globally?
Well, the Chinese healthcare analysts, looking at this data, firmly noted that you shouldn't assume Chinese doctors are adopting rogue tools at that exact same 81% rate. The IT infrastructures and internal regulations are very different.
Right, that makes sense.
However, they stressed a universal structural warning. Whenever clinical bureaucracy moves too slowly to relieve human suffering, medical staff will inevitably create dangerous, unapproved workarounds.
That's a really powerful point. But, you know, we've talked a lot about the doctors, and they are only half the equation in any functioning hospital. How is this AI invasion impacting the rest of the medical staff, like the nurses and the students?
The nursing perspective reveals a completely different kind of crisis. A study in BMC Nursing found that AI acceptance relies heavily on what they call personal innovativeness. Basically, a nurse's natural eagerness to experiment with new technology.
Okay, so some are just more tech savvy than others.
Right. But a deeper dive into the working conditions of Chinese endoscopy nurses, published in Frontiers, revealed a severe burnout crisis. And the data showed that this burnout isn't just caused by the sheer volume of patients. It is heavily driven by a fundamental loss of job control.
Loss of job control. Can you give me an example of how AI takes away a nurse's control?
Sure. Imagine a veteran endoscopy nurse. Over the years, they've developed a highly intuitive rhythm. They know exactly how a specific doctor likes the room prepped. They know how to sequence the medical scopes based on the specific patients in the waiting room. They control the flow.
Right, they have expertise.
Suddenly, hospital management installs a new AI-driven scheduling and workflow system to optimize turnover times. The AI dictates a rigid minute-by-minute schedule. It demands the room be prepped in a uniform sequence that totally ignores the nurse's intuitive knowledge of the floor.
So the AI essentially turns a highly skilled, intuitive professional into a robot just following algorithmic prompts. I can see why that would destroy morale. I mean, it doesn't matter how technologically advanced the AI is. If it strips away the nurse's autonomy, it's going to fail on the floor.
Precisely. If AI tools deprive staff of their professional agency rather than enhancing it, adoption will stall completely. And we also see this anxiety spilling over into the next generation.
The students?
Yeah. Multiple surveys of Chinese medical students in both Frontiers and BMC Medical Education show a fascinating dual attitude. On one hand, these students are incredibly eager to learn generative AI because they know it's the future.
Of course.
But simultaneously, they are deeply terrified of the machine ultimately replacing their own hard-earned clinical judgment. The studies actually fracture a bit on whether this fear is driven by individual personality traits or institutional curriculum differences, but the fear is definitely there.
So, from the veteran ICU doctor demanding to see the math, to the burned-out endoscopy nurse fighting for workflow control, all the way down to the first-year medical student, everyone is basically drawing the exact same line in the sand. They want a tool, not a replacement.
Yeah, absolutely. When you synthesize all these different battles, a single overarching truth comes into focus for hospitals globally.
Which is?
Well, we have hallucinations that can easily fabricate lethal clinical errors. We have black box models that even our best game theory tools can only partially explain. We have regulators totally paralyzed by agentic AI. And we have massive staff burnout leading to rogue IT practices.
It sounds like a problem that technology alone simply cannot fix.
It really isn't a technology problem anymore. The core lesson here is that AI safety in a hospital isn't about the software's benchmark scores. It is entirely about operational procedure. It is about the human rules built around the machine.
The guardrails, basically. Like, who verifies the AI's output, and when do they explicitly revoke its authority?
Exactly. While a patient might see a smooth, instantaneous diagnosis pop up on a screen, inside the hospital, there must be a rigid, deliberate verification process. What gets recorded? Who checks it? The faster and more confidently the AI speaks, the more deliberately the human professional must slow down and verify it.
Right.
Without that deliberate human pause, an AI hallucination isn't just a technical glitch, it is the starting point of a fatal medical error. Safety isn't built by a developer in Silicon Valley or Shenzhen. It's built by a doctor having the ultimate authority to halt operations and communicate honestly with the patient.
That is such a critical takeaway. The AI might provide the horsepower, but the hospital staff must always, always control the brakes. Thank you so much for walking us through this incredibly complex landscape today.
It was my pleasure.
As we wrap up, I want to leave you, the listener, with one final provocative thought to mull over. We've talked endlessly today about hallucinations, black boxes, and the lack of trust. But let's imagine a scenario 10 years from now. Let's say the AI no longer hallucinates at all. The benchmarks are flawless, the black box is completely transparent, and we know exactly how the computer does its math with perfect accuracy.
A utopian vision.
Right. But if that day comes, will human doctors finally step aside and let the machine make the final diagnosis? Or will they still refuse to yield that power simply because being the ultimate decision maker is the very essence of what makes a doctor a doctor?
It ultimately becomes a question of human nature and responsibility long after the technological hurdles are cleared.
We will definitely have to wait and see. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive, everyone. We'll catch you next time.
This program is provided by Lawyer Kyungjin Kim.